advisor of the Brandenburg. We explore dynamics in extra dimensions of P-brain and see which, so which kind of results it can give to us. I'm going to give some short overview, present our model, and show you which kind of things you can get out of it, namely alternatives to inflation and emerging brain inflation models. And I'll finish with conclusion. Okay, so let's start with overview. Why extra dimensions? Well, string theory is pretty popular right now, and it predicts that we have extra dimensions. However, in the context of string theory, extra dimensions are treated as being static. There are several exceptions. In the framework of string as cosmology, in brain inflation models and hyperotic scenarios, you get some dynamics in extra dimensions. The question is, can actually the dynamics be important to explain early stages of the universe? And this is the question we started to explore. By the way, we do it to be different from all these approaches. We actually have studied bulk dynamics driven by gas of P-brains. And this actually gave us pretty interesting and different results, in some sense, which can be compatible with brain inflation models, and in some sense can give us some alternatives to inflation. Anyway, the main point is the dynamics actually can be important. So the basic idea, how do we do it, is we just take Friedman-Robertson cosmology and see what it can give us once we extrapolate our knowledge of cosmology in 3+1 dimensions to additional dimensions. We also take some new ingredients which present in string theory. Brains and orbital fixed planes. Brains is actually a topological defect. So in fact, somebody who does not string theory here can just relate to it like to topological defects. So in our scenario, we have topology which distinguishes 3 dimensions from the rest of the additional dimensions. So what we do, the difference in topology convert in difference in later evolution. So we start with all dimensions actually equal of the same size, and then we have some, at some point, some different evolution of additional dimensions and our dimensions. So our starting point, taken to be natural from our, what we know from cosmology, is some dense gas of P-brains. We get 2 brain work scenarios based on these models, on this setup. One, which solves non-inflationary entropy and horizon problems. And the second, which naturally provides initial conditions for brain inflation models. I'm going to talk about the model, the general idea, which we have. Okay, so as I told before, we distinguish 3 hour dimensions from additional one. For example, it can be taken, our dimension can be taken toroidal, and additional dimensions can be taken orbifolding. So to allow topology to distinguish between our dimension and additional dimensions, we stick brains to orbifold 6 planes. And this brains gives us some potential, which later will change the dynamics. But initially, this potential and energy density in the potential of these brain six pinned to these 6 planes are negligible. And we start from initial conditions, which is very standard for our cosmology. Small universe and dense. And we have only unique scale. And energy is equal to this unique scale and energy density as well. So no hierarchy problem in this sense. So it's very natural to take this L is something of order string scale in string theory inspired models. So initially we have isotropic brain gas of P brains, which is represented by this bulk matter. And this is exactly what is dominate energy density and drive later dynamics.
When you say you've got a brand, what you mean is you've got a thermodynamic system where the equation of state is what you would have said for a bunch of rigid brains.
Well, I have two different sets of brains. Two brains filled to orbital fixed planes, and additional just three brains, okay, which free move whatever they are. Okay?
What that actually means, though, is that you're going to just take an energy density and a pressure, and they're related in a particular way, which would have been what you would have had for rigid brains.
Yeah, from these three brains. And in this sense, I just read it as topological difference, but in not in 3+1 dimensions, in larger dimensions. Okay? And I do the same as we do in cosmology. So the dynamics I expect is initially I have some expansion, all dimension actually expands. After it, the difference in topology converts to difference in involution, or the brain field torque before fixed planes start to begin important, and additional dimensions contracts. Then an energy density in these P brains converts into radiation, additional dimensions stabilizes at string scale, and we start with standard Big Bang cosmology. So we have two additional phases before actually standard cosmology phase. Okay? So in a sense, I don't have T0, it's not here, T0 is somewhere there. And I have some interesting dynamics before standard cosmology. So again, I use the simplest way to estimate the dynamics. I just take this metric where A is a scale factor of our dimensions and B is a scale factor of additional dimensions. And as I mentioned, the first stage is isotropic expansion, and therefore A of T is taken to be equal to B of T. So in this stage, we expect bulk matter to drive the expansion of all dimensions, without distinguishing between our three and addition. So the Friedman-Robertson-Rock equations drive this expansion, and using equation of state P equals W rho, we get how scale factor behave. The behavior of scale factor actually depends on W, and this W depends on which kind of bulk matter I have.
What is the stress energy tensor you're using, perfect fluid?
That's exactly the next slide. Thanks for the picture. We have for free brains, we have that kind of stress energy tensor, and number of zeros depends on number of additional dimensions. For five brains, it will be like this, and then as a usual cosmology, we use perfect fluid approximation for brain gaps and calculate W.
It means the brains are not interacting, they're rigid.
Yeah, we do not take interactions in that.
So when you use the perfect fluid approximation for the brain gas, how do we know it's a brain gas?
What do you mean by how do we know it's a brain gas?
It could be just you're using the approximation, but it's just a perfect fluid. Perfect fluid is not really regarded as a brain system.
Well, I use brain gas as like topological defects, and then I just, from this, I calculated the W, which corresponds to topological defects of some specific dimensions, or co-dimensions. Okay? Like the domain wall and cosmic strings. This is topological defects of co-dimension 1 and 2 correspondingly. So to this, we can calculate W. I just use the same technique here.
So I guess what I'm asking is this: if I look at the stress energy tensor of the perfect fluid,
okay,
I can put P equals K rho in there for any K.
Okay.
Now, how do I know, looking at the stress energy tensor, that this describes a brain gas or just a regular perfect fluid with P?
It's only from W. I mean, to get W, you need to, how do you calculate the perfect fluid tensor? You have this team you knew for one brain, and then you take all possible possibility, and then you divide and get average. So So it depends, W depends on this, okay? So yeah, but you can whatever that put whatever W you want, but you need to explain why it's exactly the W you got. And this comes from specific form of one brain.
So okay? It's how you get the W where the brain gas is coming.
Oh yeah, of course. It's exactly, you have minus one, minus one, minus one for here. It's similar to small to quantum, and this is why you have minus here, actually. It's like, unusual positive stuff.
That's not quite right, because, for example, the three brain charged objects. I don't know what brains you are talking about, but the ones in string theory, those are objects that carry charges, in particular, three brain. There will be a presence of 5-point flux. So usually the stress energy tensor, there will be a contribution coming from the flux, and so it's an exact BPS object, so it doesn't produce any stress energy tensor at all.
Well, you're right in the sense we do not really exactly use string theory. We take some objects, which are big brains, and we see how it behaves. I mean, so we use kind of, it's kind of string-inspired model more than very rigorously based on string theory, and we just look which kind of interesting dynamics we can get out of it. So yeah, once you, all we need is, we don't need to, well, we don't need supersymmetry, so we need some expansion.
It's not supersymmetry, it's just that there is more to the stress energy tensor, because it's a charged object, it creates an electric field. Mm-hmm. In this case, it will be some generalized field strength, and that will also contribute to the bulk potential. And it just happens that in the case of the three brain, in large class of examples, then the overall contribution vanishes. And that happens precisely when this topological defect is preserves some part of supersymmetry, but it's, But I guess in your case, it's like an infinite tension object that you're looking. You don't allow them to fluctuate at all. So that's an approximation.
It's pretty, what I want to look at is dynamics, or overall dynamics, and when I want to see how dynamics is going, I sometimes neglect some specific details, which I actually do need once I really build some string model.
So you're saying that your brain is just like a sheet of paper, it moves without fluctuating or crumbling, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's
also
okay.
Are they non-relativistic?
Sorry?
Are the brains non-relativistic? She's sitting here as
non-relativistic. Yeah. They're typically very heavy.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is actually a consistent approximation. To neglect the tension of the brain and, talk about dynamics of that. I would be surprised if there is separation of. There is only basically one scale of the string tension dependence, and there is a string column. So either you will force yourself into the regime where the dilaton is very, the string column is very large.
There is only one scale we cannot be non-relativistic. There must be two scales.
Well, there is a string column. The tension of the brain is set also by, depends on the dilaton. So you might be forced yourself into the strong column region.
But I think you all know that this approach is not very correct approach.
It's not,
and
that's what you
told. But this is very interesting to try to see how it actually can be implemented in string theory, if it can actually give something. But I don't know up to date models which is very rigorously okay with string theory. I mean, either one thing or another, not exactly behave like. I mean,
there are always. Well, that's good.
It will be actually very interesting to see how one can take string theory and use it. But dynamics in string theory in general, people don't use dynamics. And one of the purposes is actually to try to have some dynamics in it, because that's actually what can give some important explanation for the earlier stages of the universe and different conditions for standard cosmology.
It's irrelevant comment that I'm going to make, that there is a lot of activity that's done like, brain world inflation, and that's a dynamics in string theory. And that's a dynamics with honest objects in string theory, which are deep brains that propagate in a crop background generated by
condensate of string fields, and those are real solid Hubble string fields. And they have tension, they can fluctuate. There is a huge subject in fluid, for example.
And I'm going to talk about what it can contribute to this too. But still, I mean, how rigorous it is.
It is real dynamics.
Yeah, and I mentioned it at the beginning, by the way. And I'm going to refer to it later in some other way, okay?
Can I ask a more practical question for your calculation? I mean, if your stress energy is rows in some dimensions and zeros in other dimensions, why was A and B the same? You had a solution where A and B were both expanding the same way.
No, I stress energy for one object, and then all objects can get whatever. In general, it won't be correct, yeah? But just for. I just put it in all the possible directions, and then it's the same, okay? Okay. So, I take example from string theory just to illustrate the Dirichlet term of dimensions and the number of dimensions for break. So, I see that typically the expansion in this stage would be non-inflationary. Okay, so this is the main conclusion I actually draw from this Friedman Roberts theorem, I guess. Okay, so
that contradicts, for example, KKLT scenario, where the inflation is precisely due to the tension of the MAP3 grid.
It's very, very different, and it's pretty different.
It looks like you're making statements about string theory, and you are saying that I have a solid and then string theory, I cannot get an inflation, and that's the wrong statement.
Well, if you look, we start from specific scenario and use some specific condition and so on, and after it, we have some Friedman Roberts equation, and here to use the input from string theory. And I make statement about this specific model, not general. And in this specific model, I use some numbers which are from string theory. Okay? It's not generic string statement on all string theory, all approaches. It's only, well, maybe generic statement about this specific approach.
I think it's fair to mention that you're not using any of the string invariants here. It's just a prime model.
Yeah, I think then.
Yeah, but that's was clear from the beginning.
Any objection to your talk?
Because you keep bringing up string theory in a context which is not quite
well. We take some different ingredients which is inspired by string theory. But
when you talk about P equals in string theory, then you talk about D3 rate, which is a very well defined object. It's charged on the A4, it has a well specified tension which depends on alpha prime, in this case, doesn't depend on G-string. It's a very specific object. It's not something that you can, play around with.
It's very interesting to see if you can get kind of interesting dynamics of that or different kind once you actually play, take some very specific model and incorporate and do it.
Yeah,
but here, as you see, I just say different object and so on.
It's the same. It's okay. But again, as long as it is a toy example, toy model, there's nothing to do with string theory, then it's okay.
I just want, the purpose is to show, to see how dynamics actually can be, can one get once you have that kind of vibrate and so on. Okay. Okay, once. Once all dimensions are expanding, the energy density is stored and the fibrate is diluted, and the energy density of the potential as well. However, if the energy density and the potential diluted slower, then at some point the potential between these orbital fixed points becomes to dominate, and the dynamics is converted from expansion to contraction of additional dimension. Okay?
I'm sorry.
Yep.
What are the two graphs? In one graph, B is it.
Yeah, well, it's
basically
just
linearly, and the other one is dropping. So what distinguishes them?
I don't really know which kind of potential. I put here this orbital, these brains to orbital fixed planes only because I want dynamics to change from expansion to contraction. If I have some potential between them, this is the way I actually can change the dynamics from one place to another. So if the potential is confined in time, going like this, then it will look like this. If it's decaying potential, then it will look like this. Okay? So it's just different types of potentials. Okay, so as we saw on previous slide, actually we can have different types of potential. Yes, it turns out which kind of potential will actually determine what latency we can get. We can either get some alternative to inflation, or if we have some decay potential, we can have dynamically emerging initial condition for brain inflation models. Okay, let's start from one scenario, which is can potentially bring to some alternative. So inflation actually explains flatness, horizon, entropy, is scale invariance of density perturbation. It has some also conceptual problems, initial condition problem, singularity problem. In this way, we can address horizon and entropy problem.
I think it is wrong to say that the singularity problem is a conceptual problem for inflation, because inflation was never invented to solve the singularity problem at the first instance.
Well, it's okay, but it's a conceptual problem in general.
Yes. That you can try to say it's a general, but
that's not the point. Yeah, but it's not the point of the talk. I just tell that.
No, it's correct if you answer it.
Well, I didn't say inflation was invented to solve it, but it still has it. Okay, so we start with standard initial conditions, as we saw in our model, and we actually can solve horizon and entropy problems. Well, I want to make you know that this is actually the first time entropy problem is addressed outside inflation scenarios. So usually it's the same problem as flatness plot, and that's the way inflation addresses. Okay, but what entropy problem is it? So, entropy for Kamurin volume, which corresponds to current Hubble radius, is 10 in 90 orders of magnitude. Extrapolating back, this will correspond to universe of millimeter size with Planck temperature. Therefore, the entropy problem is just an hierarchy problem, where energy density of mass scale corresponds to universe of millimeter size and not Planck size. Because of it, also we get flatness. The standard solution to this problem is amplification of energy during early phase, standard during inflation, and then non-adiabatic phase transition, converting energy to radiation. The way we solve this problem is unusual.
Wait a minute, how do you know that there is temperature close to a Planckian temperature?
Well, it just extrapolates back to Planck scale.
Yes, and if you just assume that there is a
standard for small, if I just extrapolate back to the Planck.
I can tell you that if you just imagine the particle content up to the, some standard model, beyond standard models up to that scale, we know that universe can be in a thermal equilibrium up to 10 to 16, so you cannot be on that.
Well, instead of Planck scale, you can take whatever different scale, and then you have a bit different radius, and then you energy density corresponding to this scale will correspond to a universe of that. I mean, you, really, it's just semantic. You just change it accordingly. Okay? So, the usual technique we use is the energy amplifying in co-dimensional more than three breaks. And then we don't have accelerated expansion. Okay? So I distinguish between the hierarchy entropy problem and accelerated expansion. Okay.
Is your technique similar to what the Ektorak people use? Is this or is this a different thing from what they do?
No, it's different in the sense of you'll see in the next slide. The technique, the way I use it, is very. It's a new technique. It's a new way, actually, because I have these p-brains. it's a, in the first stage. A theoretic spin tunnel may respond to contraction of potential. Brain inflation also will respond to contraction of space. I solve an entropy problem during the first phase of expansion. Or some issues still, but okay. So during the first phase, the all dimensions are expanding. And the objects, P brain, they have some specific tension if you use them as topological digits, okay? And they also grow. But since they have some specific tension and specific energy density, so energy in them is growing. Okay? So these objects, actually, if you just look at the first parts of energy tension tensor, you see that we have some minus one, minus one, minus one, double equal minus one, minus one, minus one, as we saw at the beginning. So the projected energy density on the three dimensions would actually stay constant. Okay? And if you use five brains, so it even will grow. It's like you have all your energy and then you, the energy, you just integrate the energy along additional dimensions. So the this will give you projected energy density. Okay. And this is the way, after it, we of course assume that energy stored in P brains convert to radiation. And this would allow us to solve entropy problem.
So the three brains are flat because you're saying that the energy density is going down like something like 1 over the volume, and so then when you multiply by the volume.
No, energy density of stored in P brains in all dimensions is going down. But if you take only parallel to our dimension, it's actually not. Because of this tensor, it's like having a cosmological constant in our dimensions. You see?
And so what's going on is that the energy density in the extra dimensional sense is falling like 1 over the volume, and so that when you multiply by the volume, what's left is fixed. Is that so? The 10 dimensional energy density is falling like 1 over the volume of the extra dimensions. So the 4 dimensional energy density that you get by integrating over the extra dimensions, you're saying is constant.
Yeah, something like this. Okay. So, about horizon problem. So, review horizon problem. So, past lifetime and
present. How did you solve? I didn't really understand how you solve the energy problem with this.
Well, as you got it, the energy in the brain is amplified, or energy density parallel to three brains, our six brains stay the same, okay? So if later energy density in this P brain converts to radiation, allowing long enough periods of that kind of expansion, we will get enough energy. And if later these dimensions contract, as we saw in general overall dynamics, and energy density stored here converts to radiation, then they actually got more energy than they would expect. From the beginning, having only unique scale. And then we kind of solve this way.
From where the five brains extract energy, why it increases?
Well, like in photon. It's exactly like in photon.
I think the idea is that you have a five brain, so imagine that it wraps to side, transfers to three brains. And the assumption, I guess, you were saying that both the world volume interactions and the extra dimensions expand at the same rate as in this way, so this two cycle will expand. Mm-hmm. And so if you sort of think that you are doing all the quantum reductions, then you're effectively increasing the tension once you integrate all
the tension stays the same. In five brains.
Yeah, for the five brains.
Okay,
so
okay.
That's what you were saying. If I want to think in terms of the, what you said, project four dimensions, that's implicitly what you are doing, and indeed, the sort of effective tension of these objects will increase precisely because you assume that the transverse directions also extend.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah. So is it okay? So in standard cosmology, we don't have enough time to explain why universe was correlated in time of recombination. During inflation, the forward light cone is growing inflationary, and then that problem is solved. In our scenario, we just have additional past. The time before standard cosmology is not here. The time starts not here, it starts much, much earlier. And therefore, our light cone can grow much, much larger, explaining why at the time of recombination it was in causal contact. This is why it is so much. So in a way we treat the potentials, we actually use effective field theory approach. So to reduce the high dimension action to low one, and we get canonical normal scalar field, which connects to the scale factor of additional dimensions. And the effective potential then looks like false. Let's take an example of potential.
Sir, can I ask one more question? When you said the everything's expanding, is that in the...
looks funny.
In the picture, the first section when everything's expanding, I remember in the ekpyrotic case, there was an issue of what it looked like in the Einstein frame and what it looked like in other frames. And at the end of the day, in the Einstein frame, they had a contracting universe, so that's why they solve all these problems. When you say that things are expanding, what frame is that being done in? Is that a statement in the Einstein frame, or is that a statement that's in the...
In general, we assume the dilaton is fixed, okay?
So that's not in the sense of string frame, but when you dimensionally reduce and you have an Einstein four-dimensional frame, you have a higher dimensional Einstein frame. So, so what frame is it that the...
We just have Einstein frame.
I mean the 10 dimensions. That's where it's...
Okay. Just forget about dilaton. You have Einstein frame and then you reduce it. That's all.
So if I got to the four-dimensional frame, for somebody who's living in a three brain, would that be a contracting universe, or is it still expanding?
Always expanding.
It's expanding.
I mean, the only unknown probably we cannot really treat is this place where it converts from expansion to contraction. But it probably should be in one average, it's not too much. But if all dimension expands during the first stage, as we saw that just from extra dimension treatment. And in this stage, we again see that our dimension is expanded in effective field theory treatment. Okay?
So that's in a four-dimensional treatment, isn't it?
We have to, once A will be different, we need to go to effective field theory and use effective field theory to see how our dimension behaves. Okay, so this is why, where from we get this connection between scales and so.
In your case, it's also for five frames, it's important because it's inconsistent into when you have five frames to set the dilaton to be a constant. It's not constant. So there will be a difference.
What he probably means is that once you actually try to implement it better to string theory and take all string effects, it might change, but since we didn't take it here, we didn't have this issue. I mean, we didn't lose it more.
To be honest, I can't remember the details of the ekpyrotic thing and how. Were they sophisticated enough that they actually had the dilaton play an important role?
Maybe it's just a circle. There was a circle. Yeah, the scale is coming from
the 11th dimension. Yeah. 11th dimension.
We need to talk with Justin once.
Okay, so apparently it was the dilaton.
I have a question. Where did the phi come from? Up to now, you had this model where you had a stress energy tensor, and you found the W, and you had solutions to for A and B to the projectors. Where did the phi come from suddenly?
So the thing is that if
you make this connection, are you saying that phi is somehow describing the stress, the fluid stress energy tensor?
Well, phi is just canonical scalar field. I just want to reduce. It comes from dimensional reduction. In the previous setup, I just used it in look at the dynamics in all dimensions. Now I want to look in effective four dimensions.
Dimension. So just defining a new variable.
Is that and so.
Okay, just to change the variable.
Okay. And I actually fixed the Dirac constant, the exponent to 5, so Gs is a constant. Okay, let me go to example. So the example is the confining potential. For example, by some string stretch between, open string stretch between these brains at fixed points. Something like this, but it's not okay. So using this 5D correspondence, which we saw before, the potential exponentially, and then we have evolution, which is non-inflationary for alpha larger than one. Just the slower part is larger than one. This point. So how do we solve actually size problem? If we have potential, this potential. So assuming that universe starts the spin scale, and taking into account that h0 today is 10^42 to gV minus 1, we actually need something like 60 orders of magnitude.
Isn't that alpha, suppose that if you take alpha 2, you get inflation solution here?
Alpha 2. No,
for instance,
if you look slower parameters, then
this exponential potential, you can solve the potentials and solve the equations exactly. You don't even require.
Yeah. You can also, but if alpha equal 2, you don't get.
So you need alpha less than 1 in order to get non-inflation.
No, the opposite. If alpha larger than 1, A of t is non-inflationary. I'll put it in here.
Bigger alpha is the steeper the potential, right?
Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay, alpha is steeper, so okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we need scale factor to grow approximately 60 orders of magnitude to explain entropy, size, RFT problem the same, okay? So, during standard cosmology, assuming that the Philly Hicking is of state scale, you have that scale factor is actually group 29 orders of magnitude. Therefore, you need that during the first phase, I negate the second one, assuming it's very short, that the scale factor grows 30 orders of magnitude.
But in your setup, how do you know that what's the value of alpha? So do you know really the value of alpha?
Yeah, well, it's connected. It's just very complicated, that kind of expression. It depends on M, Z, and stuff, and P.
So you know that P is always satisfied this condition?
It's not always, but you can have both.
So that potential is supposed to come from open string lending on?
Not necessarily. It just gives an example of where from confined potential can come from. But in general, that's just some. Phenological potential, which I postulate and check what can I get, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually very confused because your potential comes from a phi, and that phi is related to one of the circles in your extra dimension.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with brains. When you do a Kaluza climb reduction, you typically get, dynamical fields, scalar fields, and it's like if you do a 5D Kaluza climb reduction from 5 to 4 dimensions, there will be a scalar field there, and that scalar field will get a potential.
This potential is just potential between. This is
the
where
potential wrote, it depends on B, and your B was a
scale factor.
Scale factor for the extra dimension. So this has nothing to do with the brain. And on top of that, the full four-dimensional effect of cosmology would have a contribution from the space end of your gas.
Exactly.
Yes. But that's on top of it, so it's not, this has nothing to do with it.
In other words, if you introduce a potential, it's going to change your metric.
No, I from the beginning introduced this potential.
So this is related
here
to Rick's question, in which frame is she really doing the computation, and in which frame is there the expansion or contraction, whatever she said. So indeed, the geometry will look different depending where you
You mean that I cannot use Friedmann over Sorov equation? Yeah, we neglect this. Well, you see, it's the beginning when we assume this this metric, we assume that the potential due to brains, no, due to these brains are actually very small at the beginning, negligible compared to the bulk matter. And therefore, we neglected this change in the metric due to this. But yeah, this is not a rigorous approach, right?
No, but don't you just wrong?
So, no, but you're saying that
there are two pieces to the effective potential. One is what you wrote depends on V, but that's one piece, and that there is another potential which comes from the fluid. In your case, is the brain. The brain gets. I'm sure that you did everything right in the thing, so maybe it's not worthwhile. You know, really, maybe it's better we can talk later. And you just think.
Okay, talk later. That's for sure. Okay. So, take an energy mu, writing mu as some energy scale to some bar, we can find from this what is the scale of this potential, which will give us enough expansion during early phases. So, I want this potential between brains. Pinto or Foltz plane dominate only later, much later. So for this, I need the potential between these brains be relatively weak. So I find that the energy scale of this potential should be something of order of electroweak scale then. And this actually reduced me entropy problem to the usual hierarchy problem in particle physics. Well, I don't really know where from this potential comes. I mean, maybe it's some supersymmetry breaking effects, where from usual scale also comes. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So the scenario actually doesn't really solve all the problems which inflation solves. But one can think about some alternative to inflation. One, if perturbation can be generated during early phases. If, in case of brains, decay much later than the time the contraction phase starts. Or in case the phase decays immediately as the second phase starts, and then we have some radiation, for example, and the energy density is amplified even more during contraction, then we can bring us to something like Hagenon phase and kind of perturbation generated, like in Hagenon phase, like one of the last ones.
How much contraction do you need in order to explain this current observation?
How much?
Like in the context of inflation cosmology, you ask the question, how many equations do you require to explain the observed?
Well, in general.
How much contraction do you need here?
Well, in general, in order to explain horizon problems, so without inflation, you just need the previous time to be at least approximate, like equal to this time of standard cosmology. General result.
Like number of equal
instances. It's the same like inflation. I mean, it explains the same. The same question and the same answer. I mean, it's just the way you write it. You can write it in the folding scope. It's then in search, you know? I mean, it's just. You need to explain during earlier phase then in search. So if you write an exponent in some power, you get this number of refoldings. Okay? Okay? Okay. Okay, what we did here is actually no accelerated expansion in the model. We show how horizon problem can be solved here, and we reduced entropy problem to particles in the hierarchy problem by the scale of this potential between brains, Pintor, Foltz point. Now, the second model, pretty different from the previous one. I mean, it's pretty difficult to have in the same talk alternative translation and something which actually supports gradient dispersion model.
Was it alternative translation in what sense?
In the sense of solving or rising an entropy problem.
And the perturbations?
That's exactly what I mentioned in this slide. Mm-hmm. That to make it actual alternative, you actually need to create perturbations. It either can be generated during previous phases or in something like Hagedorn phase. Okay.
But how do you have? When do you have the Hagedorn phase?
Okay, just before standard cosmology phase, the energy density. If the energy density in P brains going to smaller dimension brains, then during the phase of contraction, the energy density actually going to be even larger. You know, if you have just radiation and units which contract, okay, the energy density going up the same.
Just a comment though. In general, you can't assume that any perturbations created in some previous phase are just going to end up automatically in the present phase.
No, of course.
Just a comment.
No, of course. It needs to be created and shown that it's actually consistent with everything. It's just, you know, the way how you can grow to alternative. Okay. So imagine brain changing models. Okay. So just to remind about what we actually consider as the main problem of brain inflation models. Well, they start from some scale, which is much larger than string scale. And for static configurations, the way string theory treats it, it actually means some hierarchy problem. Okay? So in order to get the brain inflation model, you either need some much weaker coupling than expected from string theory, or large initial separation, which are not expected to be there. Okay? So we have some hierarchy problem here. Okay. So the way I suggest to approach the problem is to have the preceding phase due to gas of P brains, which will lead to a large separation. So to start from a small universe of something like string scale or a bit larger, to let to all dimensions to become large, and then to have this brain inflation.
So the reason you're saying that so this is kind of supporting your argument that the initial conditions are a worse problem in the sense that the separation has to be not only larger than the string scale, it has to be larger than the compactification scale.
Okay.
And that's what makes it so hard.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so in this sense, we actually have some natural starting point. We start from something like string scale, and then we allow some dynamics to develop it.
I don't know how the new approach can let the brain separate further than the compactification scale.
Well, so we'll have to see, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you let it to be large enough, I mean, vector dimensions, I mean, you have some minimal compactification scale, but if you let it to be even larger.
The hard part was not, naively, if you have a larger potential, you think would be a parameter where you can make the inflation work. But the problem is that you're comparing in this role the steepness of the potential to the Planck scale. And the Planck scale also cares about how big the extra dimensions are. So in that ratio, what happens is that if you decide to try to separate as far as you could possibly get, you can never get far enough away because the further apart you get, the bigger the space is, and it's minus, and you change the Planck scale in a way which compensates for the fact that the potential is that weak. So the trick was always to try and do something in addition to that, to try and make the interaction be even weaker than you thought. So brains and angles or something, I mean, you arrange for potential to be almost supersymmetric, or you live off some GPS thing or something, but it's just the one over rness of the potential is actually not enough.
And you cannot, it doesn't matter how big you can take this extra dimension, it doesn't have to be the string scale, maybe, you know, meters around it, still will be the same problem that we're saying.
This sort of question leads to the question I previously asked you whether these potentials are coming from open streams, any between brain and closed stream, because this is referring to one over R potential.
Well, it was before. Depending on the potential, we can have different scenarios. Okay.
Well,
previously, I talked about someone possibly to have some alternative inflation. Now I actually talk about inflationary scenarios, and then therefore it is potential.
So now you're considering exchanging massive string between the rates.
Yeah, but I don't really think in terms of string theory. Yeah, once you.
But you can use your little R potential.
So it's not 1 over R, it's the tape range, it's 1 over R to 4.
1 over R to 4.
Yeah, 1 over R to 4. Okay, but also if the in order for 6 points, I mean, you have to be pretty calculated, as I remember from your paper. Okay, let's see. Okay. So the way what we actually do is that we bring our inferton from the bottom of potential to up during the phase of bulk expansion, and then it rolls back during the inflationary phase.
What's your inferton intention?
Well,
there are modes which are the size of this extra dimension, and there is another mode.
The Briefing mode. It's a radio, Briefing mode.
It's a Briefing mode.
It's the size of the extra dimension. It's just, I have this orbital pin to orbital 6 points, and then the size of the extra dimension is growing larger.
But
and
I get inflation from there, you know, from there. Mm-hmm. I thought you cannot get the, you know, the. It's not, you have strong energy conditions for this particular mode, so there will never be acceleration.
It's not impossible because it's for instance, the Conlon and the Gavadron company got this to work in one of these Dinoff and Douglas Flavio. Well, they had to have at least 3 moduli, but then you can start balancing what one module is doing while the other ones are doing it. But it's true that with one module, it's going to be harder.
Well, I mean, I want to emphasize, I do not really try to get inflation. I mean, what I try to show that we can have some preceding phase, okay, which can give you
large support. It doesn't have to be inflation, you just say it could be just...
No.
If you need this first phase, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to show what can you give this phase, a first phase of expansion, okay? I don't really try to build some inflationary model. Okay. So we just consider some potential which is going like 1 over r, 1 over radius, and then the effective potential will look like following. Then if you add some brain tension, you actually have some 4D potential with some constant, and for this you have brain inflation if phi is larger than that. Some value, and for this the scale factor is accelerating. Well, if you make the argument how much expansion you need, then you get some scale on the potential, which is will be of order of string scale.
So is that you that B one over that's like I'm sorry, but it's not this potential that will be. Because it's not the B, it's not the open string mode, that's what you've been asked many, many times now. D is a closed string mode, it's a size of your extra dimension, so it's not that potential. What you wrote is a correct reference brain potential.
Okay.
For a given, you know, key brain, but that field is not the one that corresponds. So the brain and the brain potential is generated by open strings, massless exchange of, you know, massless exchange of strings between brain and anti-brain. It indeed behaves like this, but your mode is not an open string. I mean,
I think what she's doing is she's thinking that, if you look at the potential between two brains, the potential also depends parametrically on the volume of the space. Mm-hmm. And so she's thinking, now imagine if those brains for some reason
go
down. Well, she's thinking of this as being, if you somehow froze the motion of the brains, and you could think of this as being energy as a function of the volume.
Okay, so it's more like maybe the right way to say it, maybe it would be the potential between orbital planes or something like
that. Yeah, well, the potential between orbital planes.
Then that's, okay, good.
But it is potential between orbital planes. This is the brain spin to orbital fixed planes. From the beginning.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
The tricky part to get is the constant term, right? The constant is hard to have in range. That's
The constant is the brain tension, yeah. You just take, and actually, we just fine tune it to cosmological constant at string scale to be zero.
Well, brain tension actually doesn't normally work because that's the issue of a frame here. If you go to the Einstein frame, then the brain tension was glad you didn't have any dependence on these fields. Far as one in the Einstein frame. And so that was what made this kind of inflationary scenario really difficult to pull off. The tricky part was to get the constant piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because the generic tensions aren't constant in the Einstein frame, in the four dimensional Einstein frame.
Can you just have a cosmological constant?
Well, the one in the Gaussian doesn't, it depends on, you have to, so you're thinking of a cosmological constant in 10 dimensions or something. That's not a constant in four dimensions.
Yeah.
Whether it works as an inflationary potential or not. It's tricky to get one of them. It's tricky to get a constant in four dimensions from these kind of geometrical things.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So, again, I mean, I didn't try to make better model of inflation. I just tried to show the natural, I mean, let's start from natural starting point of one scale, you can get emergent brain inflation models, whatever model is, okay? So it can naturally emerge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what the main point of the additional of this phase. So in the sense you have some unique scale. I mean,
but
even here you have some unique scale. I mean, you don't need too much scale, but, okay?
But do you see the case? I don't see how this can solve the problem of, you know, the problem with the solar wall.
No, well, I think the what's nice about those potentials, so you know, I have to confess that I've committed this stuff too. So these kind of models we propose at one point, and the problem we always had was how to get the constant. But if you can get the constant, they're really nice models because the solar wall condition in that case is the condition of the fields, the field phi is large compared to the Planck scale. But microscopically, that's the condition of the volumes large compared to the string scale. So you're generically in the field theory limit, you're generically in the slow order.
Yeah, as long as you can get that thing being a constant.
If you can get a constant somehow, that's, and that was a trick that Kahn and DeVito did, because they seem to have been able to get an approximately constant time in the thing.
Thanks. Okay. So let's go what we did here. We have some natural starting point for string inspired cosmology. We have some bulk expansion, replace of bulk expansion. We show that these dynamics can either lead to some alternative inflation or to give some emerging brain inflation model. We also saw that the potential, interbrain potential, will determine how early stages of the universe is going to be. The confining potential gives some non-inflationary evolution and the solution to entropy and horizon problems. If you can add some correct perturbations, it might possibly lead to inflation problem, minus flux problem. And the decaying potential can allow some emergent brain inflation model.
So how will I test any of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points? Is it really your physics or what?
Thanks, so. Okay. It is, it's dynamics. I mean, extra dimensional string theory, is it the physics or not? Okay. You know?
But this is not, you know, what I am particularly unhappy is that this is not string theory.
But to be fair, as I understand your motivation, what you're saying is that you're going to play with this kind of a cosmological scenario, and if you get something that works in cosmology, then you're going to say, well, now I'll do work trying to embed that.
This is a good spin, yeah.
Because it is true,
we don't know, you know, how things can be in string theory, complicated, you know, background, and so maybe effectively some of the objects we know behave the one that you discover you needed to work to generate this.
That's exactly the approach, to try to see how it works in generic, try to find some generic trends and then to see how, if it acts still holds in more elaborate framework. Okay. Thank you very much.
It's been a lot of questions, yeah.